in October, which is our two-year celebration month. So I just want to invite you to be here. If you'd like to help us promote this, we've hopefully planted some of these cards on the tables there. Please feel free to take them, use them as a postcard, just hand them out to folks. And if you'd like to become like Johnny and Jim, we'd like to hear from you. If you'd like to get in front of the Jesus Is banner and say why, you know, who Jesus is to you, we'd like to put that out there. So there's some of you I know that are hams and would love to do that. So please just mark it on your card or come and see Laura or myself so we can engage you. Because each week, I think this month, we're going to try to put out this on Facebook and just have some fun with it. People wonder sometimes who Jesus is. And sometimes they've got a little bit of the picture or portrait of Jesus, but they don't have the whole one. They don't have maybe some critical pieces of who Jesus is. And so we want to take some time this month and do that. The series inspiration actually came through Kyle, our associate pastor here and resident church, new church planter, as he told us about a book he'd read called Jesus Is, and this is written by Judah Smith, who lives up in Seattle. And it's a 3 or 4 year old book, but some great stuff in there. I'll be taking some of that for this, and Kyle will also be sharing one of the messages this month as well. So these five compelling truths we're going to look at this month, we're going to start with one, pretty simple one, hopefully one that people will grasp a hold of and understand better, and that is that Jesus is your friend. Jesus is your friend. It's a compelling truth, really. It's a kind of friendship that's more than just being a friend on Facebook or a follower on Twitter, which I'm sure we have those, but it's more than that. Jesus wants a personal, close kind of relationship or friendship with you and with me, with actually everyone that has a life. He really wants us to know him as a friend. And as I describe that, think about the friend being the kind of friend you have had for years. Someone who really knows you, and someone whom you really know. In fact, it's more than just you know about each other. You've experienced stuff together. Jesus wants to be that to each one of us. He wants us to be able to experience him in the high moments of life and the very low moments of life. And, friends, in every moment of life, Jesus wants to be that kind of friend. He wants us to know that he carries help, healing, and hope in his friendship with us. That his friendship will supply us a kind of peace, joy, and meaning that goes well beyond other kinds of friendships in our lives. As I've looked over the ministry, and I'm sure as you've perhaps looked over the ministry of Jesus in the Bible, as it's given us testimony, written testimony of who Jesus is and what he's done, what do we find? One of the things that sticks out of the Bible about Jesus Christ as we read about him is that his life, ministry, death, and resurrection really was about bringing help, healing, hope, peace, joy, and meaning to human lives. That's what sticks out about Jesus. Jesus cares about every single person to bring them that kind of life supply. Here's the deal. He came close, wants to be close. He wants to help us to understand really who he is, because he is the one who created us. He is the one who loves us from before we were born. And he is the one that has an eternal purpose. After we die, has an eternal purpose forever for your life. I hope you believe that. If you don't get that, could I encourage you to dig? Because you will find that if you do. You will find that kind of Jesus. That's why we say about our mission, we're to know Jesus. We want to know Jesus. We just want to get to know him better and better. And as we dig, we will. We'll find that kind of friend. Okay? And then Jesus calls us to make him known. He gives us some of the privilege of sharing the good news in life, because there is indeed so much bad news. And he comes with the very best news. Friends, he does. And I want to talk about that because he is a friend to sinners. He is a friend to people like you and me, like people outside these walls that are having to deal with the sin problems of the world, the sin problems that we inherit, like from Adam and Eve. We have to go through a death like Andrew, if he does this week, have to deal with that. Or the sin problems that we bring on ourselves because we have fallen short. We have misstepped in life. We have said no to God when God wanted us to say yes. We have made a turn when God said, don't go that way. Like sometimes we have to say to our kids. And we do anyway. Jesus comes with good news. He says, I'm your friend. And I'm bringing help. I'm bringing healing. And I'm bringing hope for each one of you. That's the friendship Jesus wants us to grasp. And so to get a clearer picture of this compelling truth that Jesus is our friend, and he's a friend to every person in this world, even those we may not want to hang out with. Hey, we're going to talk about that momentarily. But he's their friend too. We're going to look at a couple of encounters that Jesus had, befriending those that no one else would. And we want to capture some pieces out of this and take home some things that Jesus, as our friend, wants us to get, wants us to understand. And I know for a bunch of us, it's probably just going to be review. But, you know, a lot of the good things of life, we need to continue to stamp inside of us and review and grasp and get it even more so. Now, normally we get out of church around 11, 10, 11:15. We're going to go an extra 15 minutes today because we had the brunch, so hope that doesn't bother any of your schedules. If you do need to get up and slip out early, that's fine. Also, I was just back by this table of food, and there's still a table of food. So you guys aren't doing your duty and eating enough this morning. So I just want to, any time during when I'm talking, you need to get up, and that sausage is over there just shouting out, and there's some bacon and some ham still. Oh my goodness, and some fruit. And so some of you might want to get back up and go get thirds, right? So please do, okay? And there's also drinks back here anytime that I'm sharing. This is Branch Brunch Sunday, and so go for it. Also, we have these little slips of paper. You can write notes down. That's all they're about for our series. Sometimes something might, you know, just stick for a minute in your mind, and you're thinking about that. I'd invite you to write it down, stick, you know, and carry this back with you home and think more about what's said. Okay, so here's the first encounter that we're gonna look at Jesus here, okay? We're going to get to know Jesus in this encounter. It's contained over in a book called Luke, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 19. I'm going to read from verse 1 through 10. Just follow along with me. This won't all be on the screen, but listen to the story. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. I'll just pause there. The chief tax collectors were not well-liked. In fact, the tax collectors were not well-liked. I'm not sure in America, you know, 2017, that tax collectors are well-liked. But I'm just saying that in that day, those tax collectors were supposed to collect taxes on behalf of the Roman Empire on an occupied nation like Israel was at the time, and they would not only collect what Caesar wanted out of the people, which was usually more than was necessary to run the empire, but the tax collector, to earn his own wages, would collect whatever amount sometimes he could get in oppressing the people of that particular occupation. So they came with a lot of authority and power. So this guy was not well liked. And as I go on, it says he was a tax collector and was very wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. And Jesus, at this time, was fairly famous. people were talking about Jesus. Jesus had some power to heal people. And some people probably said, yeah, and he healed my cousin. And he talked about these kinds of things. And we're wondering, could he be the Messiah? And so his popularity was high. And so even this tax collector, who was oppressing a lot of the people in the area, wanted to see if he could connect with this guy. He can't even see him as he's coming through, so he climbs up a tree to get a better vantage point so he could at least see this celebrity of the day, right? Wouldn't we? Sure, we want to get some vantage point. Well, this is where he did this. And so it says Jesus reached that spot, and he looked up, and he said to Zacchaeus, "Come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once. And welcomed him gladly. Now, here's the verse I will put up, because here's the tension in this little encounter. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." That's how much they thought about Zacchaeus. He was a bad guy. He was the wrong guy. He was the outcast guy. He wasn't part of us. He was part of the bad crowd. He was the gangster of the day. He was the one that you don't hang out with. And he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. And I'm muttering really loud right now, but you can kind of feel their anger welling up within them. This is all the people. But Zacchaeus stood up. I believe this would have been a little bit later after he had heard more from Jesus about real life, about the truth of life, about the next life, about his own problems. And he stood up and he said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor." Remember, he was very wealthy. "And if I have cheated anyone out of anything," which I suspect he had, "I will pay back four times the amount." In other words, he wanted to make things right the best that he could upon hearing the news that Jesus had to share. And so Jesus said to him, look these words, "Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. He has the faith of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." And so this tension is there. This cheat, perhaps embezzler or extortioner, Zacchaeus, notorious in the area, a chief tax collector. He was above the other guys. And this tension between him and all the people, Jesus hanging out with him and all the people. And out of all the people that Jesus could have chosen to spend that night with in Jericho, he chose him, that guy. I just ask a question. What's Jesus trying to tell us that we can even get today? What's he trying to tell us? Something in the heart of Jesus, something about Jesus that the people didn't get. And maybe sometimes we don't get it as well today as we might, could. As we dig deeper, we're going to find some things out about Jesus. Here's what I say. Jesus is here for everyone. Jesus is here for everyone. He came for everyone. He came for Zacchaeus. The people needed to know. He came because that was his mission, to seek and to save the lost. And Zacchaeus was surely one of the lost, and maybe there was a whole crowd of other lost, but he was one that even everybody there that was in that crowd knew was lost, that Zacchaeus was far from God. He's an oppressor of the people of God. He's a bad guy. And Jesus went to stay with him. Because the heart of God says that he is here for everyone. And you might count yourself in our crowd among, I identify with Zacchaeus. You might be one that's like that today. I identify with that guy. No one likes me. No one, I'm kind of shoved aside. Or you might know someone in your work environment. You might know someone, in the environments of life that you traverse, your journey through, and boom, you know this person, and he is a Zacchaeus type. He's an oppressor. He's a problem. He hurts people. He's a bully. He's an enemy. He's an oppressor. He's unfair and he doesn't care. Here's what Jesus says. He's here for everyone, even that one in your life. Jesus is a friend of sinners, and all have sinned. Therefore, Jesus is our friend and the friend of every other person. And somehow in this little encounter, for me, that pops out because Jesus went to stay at the house of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus listened. And Zacchaeus actually changed. An amazing change of a man, how it's recorded in the scripture. Jesus was willing to enter Zacchaeus' home and eat with him and stay with him and visit with him about life because Jesus is the Son of Man who came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus just declares his mission statement. I'm here to save the lost. I'm here to seek out and search and rescue people that are headed for an eternity without God. That's the core message of Jesus Christ. That's his mission statement. I'm here to seek and to save what was lost. And so let me ask you a question, followed by another. Who is a notorious person or Zacchaeus in your life today? Maybe you've already thought about a person that's that person that I struggle with. And then let me follow that question up with a second one. How could you befriend that person? Jesus did. Said, I'd like to stay at your house, Zacchaeus. Okay. The celebrity's going to come to my house. And then Jesus got to talk to him about his life and about life in general. And Zacchaeus came to a point where everything changed for him. He was willing to give up half his wealth. Would you be willing to give up half your wealth? See, think about the kind of, he was willing to pay back fourfold to those he had hurt. Who are the lost? Seeking to save the lost. What terminology is that for? You know, the lost. Well, it's kind of that shepherd terminology. So when a sheep got away, it strayed away from the sheepfold. It was considered lost, and you would go and find the sheep because the sheep was very valuable. And so we're like that in God's eyes. He's the chief shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. And we can stray, and we stray, and we become lost. And so there's this idea, and we've talked about this before, that the whole community out here that doesn't go to church, isn't connected to God, they're still God's sheep. That's the way we think. Every single person, the Zacchaeuses too, are all God's sheep. They're just lost, strayed, away from the fold. They don't recognize or understand the value that they are to God and how God is seeking and searching for them so that they might be found. You know, I was lost. You know, it's like every person is lost at some point in their life where they come to realize that what I've done has separated me from God. And my, you know, justice served would mean I die eternally, you know, I'm going to die in, you know, my age growing older. One day it's going to be all done here. And that's Adam's fault for his sin. And we inherit all that. But my own personal sin against God costs me my soul life. And I got to get that fixed. Well, I can't fix it. Only God can fix it, because I'm dead in my trespasses and sins, so I can't figure out how to become alive again without God paying the penalty for my sin through what he did with Jesus Christ and giving me a new chance, a second chance on life. It's called a resurrection, spiritual resurrection today, eventually a physical resurrection from the dead, physically, new body. So here's where I found myself. Maybe some of you can relate to this. I found myself, I grew up going to church every single Sunday. But you know what I found out? I knew some things about Jesus, and I didn't know some things about Jesus. So the way I put it today, and the way we put it around the brain, I was underinformed about Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people that know something about Jesus Christ. Oftentimes, they're short of some of the most important things about Jesus Christ and God the Father. And so I found myself in that place, not feeling reconciled at all to God. I wasn't honoring the Lord in a relationship with Him. He was my friend in the sense of what He was trying to do to help me and heal me and give me a hope for eternity. But I wasn't back to Him. I wasn't His friend back at all. But when I came to more information, more understanding of who Jesus was and what He did for me and why Jesus had to die on this cross when He didn't do anything, but I did. What's that all about? And I discovered a fresh kind of overwhelming sense of the mercy and the love and the grace of God that I'd never experienced before, and it changed me. It turned my life around. And I got into one of these things, going to Bible college and then coming into the ministry, and here I am 30 years later. And there's this thing about this amazing good news, this gospel, and it's about Jesus Christ and what He did for us, each one of us, because Jesus is your friend. He's the friend of sinners, and all have sinned. Thereby, He's our friend, and He's a friend of everyone else. No matter what sin they've committed, He's their friend. So as followers of Jesus here at the Branch, you know, we have this mission purpose, you know. We call it know Jesus and make Him known. And it's our reason for existing. We want to reach people with the full information, the full knowledge of Jesus Christ. Okay? And, you know, so many of you have joined us in this movement, this journey. And we just don't want to do it here. We want to extend it through Kyle and Ruth somewhere else too and continue to do that kind of thing, so that we can leverage our resources so that the gospel gets before people who are uninformed, underinformed, or simply misinformed about who Jesus is. And so on our second anniversary, we're just declaring this is still who we are. This is what we're trying to do in the community. This is Jesus' church. He is the vine, we say. We are the branches. If we abide or live, can remain in Him, continue in Him, and He in us, we will bear much fruit, is the promise our Lord gives. And so I just want to again say thank you for being on board with this. Now let me get a little personal here, because Jesus said, "Can I come and stay with you?" And what did Zacchaeus say? "Yes, gladly," it says. "Yeah, come, yeah, come on, Jesus." He didn't know what he was in for, but I'm just saying, wasn't that cool that he invited Jesus in? So here's another thought that I have. Maybe a little takeaway thought for some of us. Let Jesus in and spend time with him. Let Jesus in and spend time with him. Are you, think about it in your life right now, are you letting Jesus in and are you spending time with him? Zacchaeus was a changed man. And we'll see him in heaven, and we'll talk about that, this little incident in the life of Jesus, and how he's a famous guy for us, you know. So, hey, I'm going to go find those famous guys that are written down for the ages. Man, what was that like when Jesus came to your house? Well, I think he learned some stuff, didn't he? Because Jesus is going to share the truth in love, because he is Zacchaeus' friend. There's a sense in which Jesus is our friend because he's willing to extend himself to help heal and bring us hope. And so he's our friend. So are you spending time with Jesus? Just a thought or two on how that might work. You know, gathering like today is spending time with Jesus. They're learning about something about Jesus, and Jesus is able to speak into your heart. Having some God time every day to kind of read and pray, or on the run, whatever it takes to just take in more of Jesus, to talk to him even as you're coming and going. Maybe it's today taking a step on that connection card and saying, here's how I'm going to let Jesus in and spend time with him.
And so, boy, consider that. Second story, a little more quickly. Think about this. This is coming out of Luke 5, and it says Jesus went out and saw a tax collector. And here's another tax collector. And Jesus just seems to be, as you read about Jesus, he's connecting with those who everyone else knows are sinners. Knows they're sinners. But he's Jesus going to them or receiving them as they open their hearts and are willing to listen to his words of help, healing, and hope. And he saw this Levi. He would later have his name changed to Matthew, and he's the one who wrote the gospel according to Matthew. He was in his tax booth, and Jesus said, "Follow me." And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. And I happen to think there's a backstory to this, and that Levi, or Matthew, had learned about Jesus, maybe kind of like Zacchaeus had, this famous guy, some, you know, credibility through some powers he had, and he had this amazing message. And I think that had been working on Levi. And so when Jesus comes along one day and said, "Hey, will you follow me? You know something about me. You've gotten acquainted with who I am. I'd invite you to follow me. I'm a teacher. I'm a rabbi. You're going to learn more if you follow." And he got up and heads out with Jesus. Wow. Left everything and followed him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to the sect, their sect, complained to the disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And, you know, that was a form of really befriending, you know, connection point when you have table fellowship. And Jesus answered them this. This will be on the screen. "It is the sick who need a doctor, not those in good health. My purpose," well, notice what he says here, "my purpose," this is his mission, "is to invite sinners to turn from their sins, not to spend my time talking with those who think themselves already good." It's out of the Living Bible paraphrase, but I think it's fairly accurate to what's being meant in what Jesus says. And so Jesus again states a mission of why he's doing this, why he's with people that everybody else says, "You shouldn't be with those people, Jesus. This is scandalous. We're going to write it up on the front page of the Jerusalem Times. You shouldn't be going out and connecting with those people." Well, Jesus says, "No, what are you talking about?" He's a doctor. He's got healing powers, and he wants to get with people that need that kind of doctor. The Savior has got the answer to heal us from our sin cancer. Jesus does. And so that's who I want to invite. That's who I want to connect with, if they're willing to hear me. And so understand this, friends. Jesus right here at this point divides the world in half. And he divides the world into two different kinds of sinners. People who think they are righteous. Those who think themselves already good enough. And those who know they are sinners. "I'm sick. I need the help of God that I could get through this life and be able to live forever in the next. To have my sin taken care of." And so, friends, here's what I see here. Be careful of comparisons. When we are underinformed about Jesus, we can have a false good enough in our hearts that can point fingers, complain, mutter, and even throw stones. Here's my takeaway for this one. We are all in this together. You know, I've gone through times where I've looked down on somebody else because of their sin problem. And then a week later, I'm engaged in a sin problem that they say, "How could I, you know?" We all got our issues. We're all wrestling with what it is to honor God with our lives. And friends, sometimes this doesn't come easy. And so we open our hearts to people and we speak the truth in love. We reach out to everyone. There are sick and dying people spiritually all around us. Sometimes they look good, sometimes they smell good, sometimes everything in their life looks cheery, but sometimes deep down, they are very much sick and hurting because of the ravages of sin in our world. May our hearts break for what breaks the Lord's. And he cares so deeply about every single soul. And whatever condition that soul is in, he cares. You hear? He is your friend. We're going to take communion and remember to the extent of which our God went to rescue us, to deliver us, to save us. And the communion is at each corner. And during this next song, as the band assembles and shares a worship song with us, I invite you to worship along. I invite you to take communion. It's your option, but we take communion on a weekly basis. As those that follow Jesus, you're invited to participate in communion today as we remember the death of Jesus Christ. And we have these connection cards at your places there, and perhaps you've had a chance to put something down on it. We value these, so we'd love to get one from you. And maybe there's a step today that God is tugging on your heart to take. Take it. Let Jesus in. Get up like Matthew did and follow Jesus a little more fully, perhaps, for you. We're each at different steps, different places in our faith journey. Take a step. If there's some way in which I can be of assistance to you, I want to be. Okay? Kyle can be. There's others here that are just out to serve and help every single person to know Jesus. Okay? So God, hear our prayer of thanksgiving for your initiating a friendship with us by your very self coming to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, living an obedient life, becoming the perfect sin sacrifice for all of us, all humanity, and then suffering through a death which is hard for us to grasp. We just thank you, O God, that you are willing to do that on our behalf because you care so deeply. You love us with a love of another kind. You want to be our friend forever. So we just right now would pledge back to you a friendship and a desire to follow, oh God, a desire to let you in and spend time with you more and more. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.